Welcome to Tony Broom Ministries. Using Zoom video conferencing technology, we have the opportunity to teach and preach God's Word. And now, with Olympus Audio, we also share this opportunity with you. Whether you're watching the YouTube channel or listening to the ministry blog and podcast page, we share the following teaching session from Galatians chapter 3, entitled Living by Faith. Living by faith. If we did not have faith, I don't know what in the world we would do. Our faith keeps us. Galatians chapter 3 is our focus today, and we're talking about living by faith. Blessed are those who are of faith. We are blessed to have faith and blessed to be able to know that God is with us. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. We are compared to, like Abraham in the Old Testament, was a great hero of faith. Abraham didn't have a Bible. He didn't have a church. He didn't have a lot of things that we have. But he had something that many people do not have. And I suppose you can say everybody has faith to a certain extent. But even though people may have faith, they're not using faith like they should. And Abraham had faith. If you know anything in the world about Abraham, you would know that he is a man of faith. In Galatians chapter 3, and Paul had already talked to the believers here about the true gospel. He encourages us to stay true to the gospel and to be sure that we do not give ourselves to a false gospel. He encouraged them in chapter 2 to not rely on circumcision, not rely on anything but the word of God. And in chapter 3, which is right in the middle of the book, he encourages us to live by faith, to receive the Spirit, to not rely on the works of the law, and to receive the promises of God through faith. Old foolish Galatians, he starts off in verse 1. Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? He calls them foolish Galatians because he was afraid that they were, as he said, who has bewitched you? It always reminded me of that program that used to be on TV, Bewitch. Who has bewitched you? Who has cast a spell on you? It's almost like someone has put a curse, they put a lasso on you because you have heard the true gospel, you have the word of God, you know what it is to believe, you've been saved, you've been brought out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Lord, you know what it is to know Jesus. And why in the world are you allowing these things of the world to trap you and to trick you and to cast a spell on you? Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? The truth we have. We know the truth. The Bible is the truth. God's Word is the truth. Jesus is the truth. The Spirit is the truth. You have the truth. And he says, who has put this spell on you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. It's like that he has almost been presented before you so real, in such a real fashion, that you can actually see him, even though he's not really being crucified and he'll never die again, but it's been portrayed before you. It's almost like a movie screen. It's almost like he has been preached so vividly among you that you have seen him. It's almost like you've seen him before you crucified. And you have to have that faith. You have to have something to stand on. And when the chips are down and troubles are coming and trials are taking part of your life, you have to know that that faith is given to you. You have to know that Jesus Christ is crucified and you're basing your faith exclusively on that. It cannot be in anything else. And Jesus has been set forth as crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. It's like he says, just tell me one thing. This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? When you receive the Holy Spirit, and you could say it like the baptism of the Holy Spirit or receiving the Spirit at conversion, Either way you want to interpret it, the question and the answer is still going to be the same. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law? Did you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And the obvious answer is, we received the Spirit by the hearing of faith. Oh, foolish Galatians. And now he says it again. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? We cannot finish in the flesh what we begun in the Spirit. Neither can you finish in the Spirit what you begin in the flesh. So he said, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? If the flesh has failed us in our old life, in our sinful life, we can be assured that the flesh will continue to fail us in our spiritual life. So we cannot depend on the flesh. We cannot depend on the works of the flesh. We have to receive the Spirit by faith. We are not made perfect by the flesh. We are made perfect by the Spirit. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, look, you've been persecuted. You're living for Jesus. You've made that stand. You told your family that you believe. You told your family you're going to live for the Lord. You told your kids and grandkids you live for Jesus. And now you cannot quit now. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain? And so he is challenging them to remain true to the Lord. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Those who are ministering to you, are they doing it by the works of the law or are they doing it by the hearing of faith? Is it law or faith? Paul goes to great extremes in Galatians and Romans to try to establish the fact that he's like Elijah in the Old Testament. Look, it's got to be one way or the other. It's either got to be Baal or it's got to be Jehovah. You can't have it both ways. It's either got to be by the works of the law or it has to be by faith. You cannot have it both ways. It either has to be by grace or it has to be by works. You can't have it both ways. And so he says, he who ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you. And God give us that today. Not just a educational program. Not just something that says we got a bunch of preachers. We got a bunch of ministers. We got all these people. You got all these people and all these ministers, but what are they doing? What are we doing? Maybe we ought to just say, we're not going to license anybody else. We're not going to ordain anybody else. So either somebody does something or everybody dies out, one or the other. We got to get people doing something for the Lord. And when the times when we can't do anything like it is now, we realize, look, God is drawing us aside and he's allowing us to come aside so that we can get with him. One of the things I do not want to do, and this will come into a message, I'm sure, but I do not want to go through all this stuff that we're going through now and come out on the other side. Well, we made it through that one. Be the same as I was before and just keep on trucking like I was before. No, I don't want to be like I was before. Everybody talks about we want to get back to normal. No, what is normal? I don't want to be normal. I don't want to be status quo. I don't want to be just haphazard. I want to be the best that I can be for the Lord. I want to come out of this thing better than I was before. The song, you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. I want to come out of this thing not bound and sick and lame, not bound up, not troubled, not all under bondage. I want to come out to be able to help someone else, to be able to minister the Spirit. And you don't have to depend on man to minister the Spirit to you. He's not just saying that. You have a relationship with God yourself. But those who are ministering the Spirit, we should be working miracles and seeing miracles happen. And he says it's got to happen by the Spirit, not by the works of the law. It's by the hearing of faith. And what is the hearing of faith? It's the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God's Word. And he talks about Abraham again. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That night that God took Abraham under the stars, God made the most beautiful night that you've ever seen. And God made sure that there was not a cloud in the sky all around where Abraham was. And he took Abraham under the stars and he said, Abe, Look up, buddy. Tell me those stars. How many are they? And it's like Abraham said, Lord, there's no way that nobody could ever count all those stars. And God said, that's how your seed is going to be. And something happened in that old man's heart that night, brothers and sisters, family and friends. Something happened in that man's heart that night. And he believed God. Something sprung into his life. And you know what that something was? It was faith. Even as Abraham, oh, glory to God, I feel the Holy Spirit. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him. It was put on his account for righteousness. God stamped his account that very night as righteousness. Abraham was not righteous in himself, but he had God's approval stamped to his account that very night, and he was known as a righteous, a saved man in the Old Testament. Abraham, if there was ever a saved man in the Old Testament or even in the New Testament, it was Abraham. He believed God. And that's what God wants us to do. God doesn't ask us to understand it all. He doesn't ask us to explain it all. All he asks us to do is to believe him. Just like Abraham did. He believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. If we are of faith, now how are we of faith? How do you get to be of faith? Well, you know that. You know Jesus. When you know the Lord, you are children of faith. You that are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. We may not be biological children of Abraham, but we're just as much children of Abraham, even more so in a way than a real Jew, because we're children of Abraham by faith. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. God in his foreknowledge, he saw, and it says that the scripture has it, that he foresaw, he saw ahead of time, that he would justify the heathen through faith. And the heathen, that means you and I, by the way, that he would justify us through faith. He preached before. Beforehand, long time ago, he preached the gospel to Abraham, and he told him, in you shall all nations be blessed. How are all the nations blessed in Abraham? It's because of the gospel, because of the fulfillment, because that God gave Abraham one son. And through that son, Isaac, the gospel came to the whole world. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. You and I this morning, and I hope that you can see this, and I do know that you believe it, we are a blessed people. You might say, well, look at all the desolation and despair and all the destruction and things around us, but we're still a blessed people. We are blessed. We live in a free nation. And I know you turn on the radio talk shows and the hosts, one's against the other and all that. The left is trying to be more liberal. The right's trying to stir everybody up and make them get out and blow their horns and demonstrate. And everybody has to do this and do that, and one against the other. And one does not really believe in the cause. The other don't really believe in the cause. They're just making money and getting more rich. And you and I are just doing the best we can. But the thing is, we are blessed. We live in a nation that a lot of people would love to live in, and that's why they want to come here. But no matter what nation we're from, we're blessed not because of where we live, not because of the red, white, and blue, and the stars and stripes. That's part of it, and that's patriotic, but that's not the real blessing. The real blessing is that we are blessed with faithful Abraham. We are blessed because we belong to the Lord. We receive the Spirit by faith, and we do not rely on the works of the law. Paul said it's not circumcision, it's not church membership, it's not baptism, it's not any of these things that we have to base our faith exclusively on our relationship with Jesus Christ. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. The curse is that you are under the law because if you do not continue in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them, you're under the curse. So if you're missing one point, James says you're guilty of all. As long as you're doing what the law says, you're fine. But who's fine because who's doing what the law says? None of us can keep the law perfectly. Even the apostles in the New Testament said, why do we put a yoke upon the neck of these precious disciple brothers, which neither we nor our fathers were able to bear? This yoke of the law, this yoke of bondage. And there's nothing wrong with the law. There was something wrong with us. And that's why this yoke of bondage on the neck of the disciples will not cause them to be better Christians. And I wish I could just shake some of this conference, some of these people that are in high places, and they think that they want to make their ministers better, that they try to put all these regulations and all these stipulations upon people. You have to have so many points, you have to have so many credits, you have to attend so many meetings, you have to do that. And all they're doing is being more pharisaical as you go along, more New Age. All this New Age is coming into the conference, it's coming into the, even the holiness movement is coming into our churches. Regulations, rules and regulations. It's nothing else but a New Age way of bondage under the law. If you're under the works of the law, you're under the curse. Cursed is everyone who continues not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. You're not justified by keeping a law. You're not justified by the works of the law. You're justified by faith. The evident thing, it's evident that you're not justified. And he says, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. That's evident. For the just shall live by faith. And that's Galatians 3:11. The just will live by faith. And that's taken from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4 in the Old Testament. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. In the law, as long as you're doing, you're living. But the moment you quit doing, you quit living as far as the law is concerned. And that's the way it is. You're all right as long as you're doing right. But when you slip up and you're not doing right all the time, you're in a mess. And that's the way some people's religion is. They go through their life so afraid they're going to do something. They're going to step on an eggshell. They're going to do something that will displease the Lord. And they're in bondage every day because they're so afraid they're going to do something to displease the Lord. And all those things they're doing to please the Lord, they just overlook that. The law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. As long as you're doing, you're living. But the moment you quit doing, you quit living as far as the law is concerned. In the old covenant, you did so you could live. In the new covenant, we live so we can do. And thank God for the new covenant. Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Reading a lot of curse today, because one thing, you're cursed if you don't keep all the law, every bit of it, you're cursed. There's a whole bunch in there if you read a lot of it too. And there's another part of the curse that says you're cursed if you hang on a tree. Well, guess who hung on the tree for you, and he hung on the tree for me? Jesus. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law because he is the one who became a curse for us. I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on the cross in disgrace. But Jesus, God's Son, took my place. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And Jesus did that for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And thank God that we can have the Spirit of God and receive Him through faith. That's how you receive the Holy Spirit, through faith. That's how you're saved, through faith. That's how you're sanctified, through faith. That's how you're healed, through faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And that's the only way we can please God, is through faith. The blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Oh, they didn't want the Gentiles to be saved, those old uncircumcised people. We want the Jews to be saved, but God said, I want everybody to be saved. And the song said, everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. God wants everyone to be saved, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Receiving the Spirit through faith, and do not rely on the works of the law. Don't rely on religion. Religion will toss you about. It will let you down. But you got to stand by faith and receive the promise of God by faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. He said, let me talk to you like a man for a minute. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. In other words, he's talking about a man-made contract. Just like if you go buy a house, or you go buy a car, if you go buy an appliance, you have the contract to sign. You got to pay 90 days or 90 years, whatever it is. You got to pay all this contract. There's always the contract. You got to have a contract to have your house painted. You got to have a contract to have your carpet cleaned. You got to have a contract for everything. And even if it's a man's contract covenant, no man can disannul or add to it. It voids or makes bad the contract. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, to thy seed, which is Christ. He's not talking about many seeds. He didn't say to seeds, plural, but he said to your seed. Well, all down through Abraham's seed, it pointed to Jesus Christ. And the contract was made good in Jesus Christ, not in the works of the law, not in keeping rituals, not in ordinances. All this pointed to Christ. The tabernacle furniture, all the things in the Old Testament, all that pointed to Jesus. But it all was fulfilled in Him. And this I say, that the covenant, he's talking about the law now, that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. The law came 430 years. It's amazing to me how exact God is on this stuff. How exact He is. The exact day when the fullness of the time came, Jesus Christ came into the world. And when the fullness of the time came, He came. And that's the way it was here. God said to Abraham, your children, your descendants, will go into slavery. They'll be in a strange land for 400 years. And the scripture here says exactly to that day, and you can read in Moses, it'll tell you the same thing. The exact day God brought them out of the land of Egypt. God knows the exact day. He knows the exact hour. He knows when He's coming. He knows all of that. And He knows what we're going through right now. None of this is taking God by surprise. He knows the day, He knows the hour, He knows all about it. And 430 years after God made that promise to Abraham, here comes the law, and it does not make the promise void. The covenant God made before was made before God in Christ. The law, 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. God gave the promise to Abraham. He gave the covenant to Abraham not by law, but by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? Well, if God gave the covenant to Abraham by promise, what's the law good for then? And that's what that means. Wherefore then serveth the law? Well, what good does the law do? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. A mediator is someone who goes between. And no greater mediator, of course, than Jesus Christ. But in the Old Testament, it was Moses. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And the angels stood by and they watched as God gave this wonderful law and these Ten Commandments, and He gave them to Moses. Moses up there on the mountain with God, praising and glorifying God and worshiping God. And there he is with God. All these angels. Moses didn't talk about seeing angels, but he was there. God met him there on the mountain, and the angels were there watching, and the law was given to him. It was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. And there is one mediator between God and men, 2 Timothy 2:5, the man Christ Jesus. He is our mediator. The law was given because of transgression. It shows how sinful we are. and Jesus Christ came to show how holy He is. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which would have given righteousness, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Paul is saying, if there had been, if there could have been a law which would have been able to give righteousness, to give eternal life, then righteousness would have come by the law. But it's impossible to be justified, to be righteous, by trying to keep the works of the law. Because as long as you're doing, you're living. But when you quit doing, you quit living. And it's so easy to stump up, so easy to become unclean, so easy not to keep everything just right. The Scripture hath concluded all under sin. And in Romans 3:23 says it, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So we do not keep the works of the law to be justified. The only way we're justified and the only reason we're justified is because we know Jesus Christ and we live by faith. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting only in His righteousness and love. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day. Thank You that we can be together in the Zoom Broom Room today to study Galatians 3. Talk about Your wonderful promises that You made with Abraham. And we know that You're the same God who's faithful to Abraham. You're faithful to us. You're faithful to watch over us and to protect us. And we thank You, Lord, for the encouragement from Your Word today. May we reach out and touch others with the glory of God and the Word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. You have been listening to a session shared with people in the Zoom Broom Room. This has been a teaching from Galatians chapter 3 entitled Living by Faith. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.